Today's daf is Shkalim daf Yud Zayin. We left off on daf Tez Zayin and Beis at the Mishnah. On the bottom of Tez Zayin and Beis, today we're going to discuss after that we had the whole list of different numbers of 13 in the previous Mishnah. So today we're going to discuss the 13 Hishtachavayos, where these 13 Hishtachavayos were. The Mishnah is going to have one opinion, the Gemara is going to have a second opinion of what the 13 Hishtachavayos corresponded to, and then the Gemara is going to have the description of the water. The majority of Amud Aleph is going to be the description of the water that will come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and get stronger and stronger as it gets further away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. La Asad Lavo, and it's going to go through several psukim in Sefer Yecheskel to explain the psukim and what they refer to, but specifically relating to that water. That's going to lead us into a mention of how fruits and grain is going to grow differently, La Asad Lavo, and how we're also going to go back and discuss how Yechanya went into Galus, what his last moments were like before we gave him over to Nebuchadnezzar, and he went into Galus. The next Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss the 13 tables that they had in the Beis HaMikdash and what the role and the function of those 13 tables were. We're going to have Machlokas when the Lechem HaPanim was on the way in. Before we put the Lechem HaPanim on the Shulchan, did we put it on a Shulchan of silver or a Shulchan of marble? How much were we willing to be Somech on a Nes that it's not going to spoil? And then the Gemara is going to discuss an additional 10 menoros and 10 Shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech had built, and exactly how the Shulchanos were placed, whether they ran north-south or whether they ran east-west. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Tezayinim Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hechano Yishtachavayos Ha'elu. After we mentioned the 13 Yishtachavayos in the previous Mishnah, so where were these Yishtachavayos that we're talking about in the Azara? Arba b'tzafon v'arba b'darum, shalosh b'mizrach u'shtayim b'marav, k'negesh shalosh asar sha'arim. So there were four in the north, four in the south, three in the east, and two in the west, and it's connected to 13 Sharim, the 13 gates that were in these locations. So now we're going to go through the gates. Dromim smuch lemariv. Let's go through the gates on the southern side, that's starting from the western, from the southwest corner, so of the Azara, Shara Elyon. From the southwest corner, we have what's called the Shar HaElyon, because the Harabayus was on a slant, and it went up from Mizrach Lamarav, went up from east to west. So the one that's closest to the western side is called the Shar HaElyon, because it's the Elyon Mikulam. It's literally higher than the other gates. Then we had Shar HaDelek, that's the Shar of the Lishchas HaEitz. So that's where they would bring the Atzei HaMa'aracha that they would burn on the Mizbeach. So that's why it was called Delek, in terms of lighting something. It was where we got the fuel for the Mizbeach. Shar HaBechoros, I think it's a gas station in Israel, Delek, right? That's fuel. So Shara Becharos, the Shar that they bring the Becharia Behema to the Azara. Shara Mayim, we're going to explain exactly what it's about. Lama Nikra Shmo Shara Mayim. Why is it called Shara Mayim? Shabo Machnisin Tzlochis Shal Nisach HaMayim B'chag. That's where they brought in the Kli of Nisach HaMayim, with the water of Nisach HaMayim on Sukkot, when they did Nisach HaMayim on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, the reason they called the Shara Mayim is Bo HaMayim Mefachim V'asidim Lios Yotzin Mitachas Miftan HaBayis. L'asol Lavo, that's where the Mayim is going to go through, the Mayim that comes out from the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim and gets stronger and stronger as it leaves the Beis HaMayim Migdash, is going to go out through that shar, through that gate. That's why it's called Shar HaMayim. So that is on one side. That is Salu Masan, Keneged, corresponding to the all those gates that we just mentioned. On the south side, Salu Masan B'tzafon, on the north side, there were also four gates. Smuch B'marv, starting from the west, from the northwestern corner, from the westernmost part of the northern side of the Azara, we first have Shar Yechanya. It was called that. We'll explain why it was called Shar Yechanya. Shar HaKarban. And then we have Shar HaKarban, where they were bringing Kodesh HaKodeshim that are shechted in the Tzafon. So you wanted a Shar that was toward the Tzafon, that was toward the north, for the Karbanos that were Kodesh HaKodeshim to go through. Then you had Shar HaNashim, the gate of the women. We'll have to see why it was called Shar HaNashim. Shar HaShir, and then you had the gate that they would bring the Klei Shir into the Azara, the various musical instruments. V'lama nikra shmo Shar Yechanya. Just backtracking for a moment, the Mishnah says, why was it called Shar Yechanya? Why was the one in the northwestern corner called Shar Yechanya? Shabo Yatza Yechanya Begaluso. When Yechanya had to go into Galus, when Nebuchadnezzar sent him into Galus, he went to be Mishtachve and to be Notol Rishus from the Shechina, Dafka through Shar Yechanya. So that's why it's called Shar Yechanya, was named after him. Why do we have a Shar HaNashim? What's Shar HaNashim all about? So there seems to be a machlokas in terms of what Shar HaNashim is about. The Rosh in Maseches Midos, in the second paragraph of Midos, says that that's where the Nashim would come to do smicha on their korban, according to Rabbi Yossi, that Nashim somchos, that Nashim are actually allowed to do smicha on their korban. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that they were not allowed to do smicha, at least they would come in through that shar to be omed on their korbanos, to watch and make sure that everything goes okay with their korbanos, and that's what the korban Eida says over here as well. But the Tosfos Yom Tov over there, Maseches Midos, writes in the name of the Rav Yah, that this shar that the women went out with, this shar was a place that the women would go out from the Ezras Nashim through this shar. Why would they go through this shar from the Ezras Nashim? So because they couldn't go through the shar of Mizrach that they came in from, because then they would have to turn their backs to the Heichal, and we wouldn't want them to have to turn their backs to the Heichal. They couldn't go toward the south. The Tzadarom, there was no shar in the Ezras Nashim, so they had to go around a little bit, Deruch Smol, and go out Dafka through this shar. And the Tiferes Yisrael, he wonders, why should Nashim be any different than anybody else that goes out from the Azara with their backs facing the Heichal? If everyone else can go out that way, why can't women go out in that direction? So in the Tiferes Yisrael, he says different. He says, no, this was a shar. It was a small shar that was miyuchad only for women, and it was smaller so that women could realize that this is designated specifically for them, that there were separate entrances. This was an inyan of tznius in the Beis HaMikdash, that women should have a separate place that they can go in and out, that's makom tznua in the Beis HaMikdash. We do have this concept of a heightened level of tznius, particularly in a Beis HaMikdash, or even in a Mikdash Ma'at, in a Beis HaKnesses, Rav Shechter writes, in Eretz HaTzvi, in Simen Yud Beis, in Osir Aleph, he says, you know, there's a strange minhag a lot of women have, women who never cover their hair, married women who don't cover their hair, but when they come to shul, they cover their hair. You find this in a lot of places, where people don't cover their hair, so it's not right that they don't cover their hair, but when they go to shul, all of a sudden everybody covers their hair. Women who aren't careful to wear stockings, but when they go to shul, they wear stockings, they make sure to be a little more tznua. Where does that come from? That there's more tznius in the Beis HaKnesses than there is anywhere else. Rav Shechter points to the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Mem Zayin. Tan Rabbanan Shiva Banim Hayilo LeKimchis. Kimchis had seven sons, and all of them were Meshamish Bekuna Gedola. So the Chacham Master, Ma'asi Sosha Zuchisa L'Kach. What did you do that you were Zochet to seven sons serve as Kohanim Gedolim? So she says, Miyamei Loro Koros Besik Kilesari, that the walls of my house never saw my hair exposed. So you see Beferish in the Braisa that Tznius causes Hashras Hashchina, meaning she was saying that as a result of her extra level of tznius, which was well beyond what's required, meikar adin, so she had that she was zacha to an additional level of hashras hashchina. And that's where Rashi al Torah in Parshas Truma, the pasuk of Chafalta Siyuri Hashishas al Mulpanei Oel, that it's doma lekalat tznua hamuchusa b'tziif al paneha, like a kalat tznua that has a scarf over her face. So maybe that's what he means to say, that b'zchus the tznius we were zacha to gilu shchina in the Mishkan. Rav Shechter points out maybe that's what Rashi's trying to say. He says, you find the Beferish in Parshas Kisetze, V'lo yirubucha ervas davar v'shav me'acharecha, that a lack of tznius is goreim siluch shchina, v'shav me'acharecha, Hashem will turn away when there's a lack of tznius. And you have the Rashi in Parshas Matos, that the Bnei Yisrael by Bilam, that Bilam said, bo v'asiachem etza, I'll give you an etza, l'kechem shaleilu sone zimahu, Hashem hates zima, shaf u'masolam, even the u'masolam knew this, you saw that pritzus causes a siluk shchina from Klal Yisrael. So he says maybe that's the source of this minag that women have, that they have extra levels of tznius beyond what they normally observe dafka in the Beis HaKnesses in the Mikdash Ma'at. So we have this heightened level of tznius because when we want hashras hashchina in a makom of hashras hashchina, there's a heightened level of tznius. Maybe that relates to the separate entrances that they would have for the Nashim. Maybe that relates to the Shara Nashim, that they would have a separate entrance because of this this extra level of Tznius. Sheba Mizrach, on the eastern side of the Azara, was Sharni Kanar. It was called Sharni Kanar because there were miracles that happened in order to get the doors. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma describes in some detail the miracles that occurred in order to get the doors for the Sharni Kanar. Ushne Pishpa, with the boat that thrown overboard and came under the boat. Ushne Pishpish, and it had two smaller doors that were right next to it. Hayilo Echad Mimina Vechmi Smola, one toward to the right of it and one to the left of it, and they would open up into two rooms in the Beis Hamikdash, the Lishchas Pinchas HaMalbish and the Lishchas of the Osei Chavitin. So these little gates count as well toward the number of 13 Sha'arim. Ushnayim b'marav, and then there were two in the west, v'lo ha'yalem shem, but those didn't have a name. They were just gates. They didn't have any name to them. So Tosyantov quotes from the Kaftar v'Ferach that these gates on the western side were the Shara Ulam and the Shara Hechel. They didn't have any special name because there was no special maisa that happened in relation to them. They're just gates that people used to go in and to go out. That's what gates are for. But all the other gates that we mentioned had some sort of maisa that occurred that they got a special name. So it tells Yontif quotes that from the Kaftar of Ferach, but he says that's a very strange comment of the Kaftar of Ferach. What's he talking about? The Shar Hechel and the Shar Ulam? All of the Sharim we're talking about are Shari Azara. Shar Hechel and Shar Ulam don't count as amongst the Shari Azara. And furthermore, the Shar Elyon doesn't have any special name because of a maisa Shaya. It was Shar Elyon because that's where it was located. So we couldn't come up with some description of the location for the Shari Marib, for the gates on the western side. So he says he finds that hard to believe. So he says it must be that these two gates on the Marav were in the coastal Maravi of the Azara, the western side of the Azara behind the Hechel. So they were small and they weren't really used all that much. They were only used when there was a tzorach gadol, that if we were attacked or something, we'd be able to escape through those gates. That we always have some sort of escape plan. Jews know that when Jews build things, we're always careful to make sure that there's always some sort of escape plan, because throughout our history, we've needed to use them. It reminds me of like the Turo synagogue in Rhode Island, in Newport. So they have that escape hatch underneath the beamer or something. That's Jews always have that in the back of our minds. So that's what these gates were for, says Tosfos Yom Tov. They didn't use them so much because Rova, the Shetach of the Azara, was in the other directions, and they didn't really need this gate on the western side so much. Now Tosfos Yom Tov points out that in Josephus it says that they didn't have any gates over there, but he says Zayn Lazos from the Soros Chazal. We have to accept what Chazal tell us, and that the gates existed. They were just barely ever used, but they did exist. Okay, so these were the 13 gates. So says the Gemara, Masnisin Abi Yosef ben Yochanan. Our Mishnah seems to assume like Abi Yosef ben Yochanan, Damer Keneged Shlosha Asar Sha'arim, that it says that the 13 Ishtachavayos were Keneged the 13 Sha'arim. Beram Kerabanan Shiva Sha'arim Hayu Bazara. But the Rabbanan disagreed. They hold that there were only 7 Sha'arim in the Azara, so it can't be that the Ishtachavayos related to Sha'arim, because the numbers don't match up. So Al Daitin the Rabbanan, Hechon Yishtachavos Halalu. So according to the Rabbanan, where taka were these Yishtachavos, or what were the Yishtachavos corresponding to? Where were they bow? Ki'id Tanin Taman. So it's based on what the Mishnah says in Midos. Shlosh Esrei Pirtzos Hayubo in the Soreg, which was the Mechitza that was on the Harabayis to separate between the Harabayis and the Chel. There were 13 Pirtzos that Shepartzim Malcha Yavan, that the Malcha Yavan made in the Soreg. V'chazru v'gadru b'nei Chashmonai, and the b'nei Chashmonai rebuilt those pirtzos. V'gazru k'negdo sholosh esrei ishtachavayos, and there were gozer 13 ishtachavayos on those 13 spots, to remember where those 13 spots were that there was that the Yavanim had attacked, to memorialize how we were able to rebuild after they had attacked and they had opened up these 13 areas where mishtachava, I guess as hodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we were able to rebuild. So the Mishnah said that it's called Shara Mayim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because that's where the water is going to come out from under the Miftan Abayis, from under the base of the base of Migdosh. It's going to come out from that shar. So the Gemara is going to describe in some detail how the water is going to come out of the base of Migdosh. So Ksiv, the pasuk in Zechariah says, "Vahaya bayomahu yetu mayim chayim Yerushalayim." That on that day, it's the Nevuah of Las Lavo, there's going to be mayim chayim coming out of Yerushalayim. Now, Barbanel's not sure whether to take this literally, meaning you look at the land of Israel, and it's two things that they thought the land of Israel would never have is oil and water. Now we're discovering that we're going to be exporting oil and water. They, with the, because of science, because of technology, they were able to refine all of these things. But so Barbanel doesn't know to take it literally. How could it be there's going to be so much water coming out of Eretz Yisrael? It must mean success or something, or parnasa, plenty, whatever. But it describes in the Navi that there's going to be actual water, that there's going to be water that comes out of Yerushalayim. We see a partial kiyum of that. Bizmanenu. Mibes Kodesh Kadashim, it's going to come from the Sotani, Mibes Kodesh Kadashim, Ad HaParochas. So this stream of water is going to go from the Kodesh Kadashim until the Parochas. It's going to be very slight. It's going to be a drip. Kikarne Siyale Uchiyale, like the antenna of very tiny insects. Min Parochas Ad Mizbech Hazav, then from the Parochas until the Mizbech Hazav, Kikarne Chagavim. It's going to be like the horns on grasshoppers, which is a little bit more. That's it's also very thin, very narrow. That's how the Mishnayos describe it. The Gemara describes in Maseches Pesachim the cracks in the dough when dough becomes chametz. It's kikarnei chagavim. So also very, very slight stream that comes out at that point. But when it goes from the Mizbech Hazav further out to the Azaros, so then it's going to get a little bit bigger. Kichut shel shasi, like the string of shasi when we weave, and then min Azaros and Miftan Abayis is kichut shel erev. It's like the other string that runs in the other direction, which is a wider string. Mikan ve'elach, and then from there on, then it's going to be kimipia pach. Then it's going to be like the mouth of a vessel. It's going to be something much. It's going to be a much more steady, stronger stream. So the Navi in Yecheskel describes this stream of water that's going to come out. So it describes how the water is going to become stronger and stronger as it continues to go out. Ad Karsula. So until Karsula, which is I guess is where it's going to go until Vayamid Alafirena Bamayim May Birkayim. And afterwards it's gonna be Mamshich to go another 1,000 amos, and the water is gonna get deeper and deeper as you go further out. Meaning Ad Birkayim. When it goes there, it's called Mei Birkayim, because at that point where the water is, it's knee deep. And then you measure another 1,000 amos. And then it's called Mei Masnayim. Why would it be called Mei Masnayim? Because Ad Masnayim, at that point, another 1,000 amos further, it's going to be waist high. Mikan ve'elach, Vayamad Aleph Nachal Asher Lo Uchal La'avar. Then you're going to measure another 1,000 amos, and it's going to be like a stream that you can't even pass over. Afil Lubiran, even Lebron Gadola and Yichal Laverbo. Even large boats aren't going to be able to pass through this water. That's how big it's going to be. Maitaima, and Maitaima in the Yerushalmi doesn't mean what's the reason for it, because we're not explaining the reasoning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in making a stream like this. Maitaima in Yerushalmi means what's the source, that Minalan. Maitaima is equated with Minalan. Where do we find this? V'tziyadir lo yavirenu. It says V'tziyadir lo yavirenu, that even boats aren't going to be able to be over in this Nachal. They're not going to be able to pass by this stream. So, why can't the boat go by as a result of the water? Meaning, as a result of this water, what does meisachu mean? Miloshut, that it's impossible to float in this water. Amar Rav Chuna ba'asrin karlu siyata shchuna. We call shayata shchuna. We call floating or swimming shchuna. Uferas yadav bikirbo kasher yifaris hashocha lishchos. That's the hashocha lishchos. lishchos, the swimmer to swim. Ma'u lishchos, what's the repetition of the word? Am Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Bon, am mayin de mismalin ba'alma. It's what the water that we're speaking about is water that's going to cause a lot of people to talk about it, because there are going to be so many nisim about this water that it's going to be the most spoken about water in the world, since because of all the miracles that are going to occur with this water. The Gemara now brings a pasuk in Zechariah that deals with this mayon, with this spring of water, and we're going to have a machlok samurayim about this pasuk. Siv, it says in Zechariah b'yomahu yamakar niftach lebeis davar liyosh l'yushlayim l'chatas ulenida. So it says that it's going to be l'chatas ulenida, that this spring of water that goes from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so from that day on, is going to be mayim chayim in Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonasan says that this water mibeis David va'ad yosh v'Yerushalayim kisherim l'nida. From the Beis HaMikdash until Yoshua Yerushalayim, until that point, it's kosher for a nida to use as a mikveh, because there's 40 sa'ah. Ulechatos, it's also kosher to use for the Efer Paraduma, that you need Mayim Chayim, because it had a din of Mayim Chayim. But Mikan Ve'elach, from outside of Yerushalayim, once it mixes with other bodies of water, Meitarovasim, then it's considered to be a mixture of different types of water, so it's Ksherim L'nida, it's still kosher to be used for a nida, but because the nida doesn't require mayim chayim, but psulim lemechatas, so it's going to be possible to use for mechatas because mechatas requires mayim chayim. Amr Blazer, so Blazer disagrees with Rabbi Yonasan. He says no. We base David v'ad Yoshua Yerushalayim ksherim lenida ulechatas. From base David until Yoshua Yerushalayim, it's kosher for both nida and for chatas. Mikan ve'elach. But from that point onward, mekatafrisel sein. It's water that goes down on a slant. It's on a shipua. So psulim lenida. It's possible for nida because it has a din of zochlin, which is possible to use for a mikvah ulechatas, and it's possible for the mechatas because it's not mayim chayim. So it's possible for both nida and mechatas at that point. So now the Gemara goes back to the pesukim in Yecheskel to describe how the pesukim in Yecheskel describe this water. Ksiv vayomri lei hamayim ha'ele yotzim ela glila kadmona. It goes to the Galil, to the east. Ze yam shel samcho. That's the yam shel samcho. V'yodu ala rava ze yam shel tveria. And it goes down to the yam shel tveria, the kineret. Ubo ayama ze yam ha'melech. That refers to the Yama Melech, that's in Eretz Yisrael. So El Yama Mutzaim, Zay Yama Gadol, and El Yama Mutzaim, this is the oceans, Yama Gadol. Velominik Rishmo, why is it called the Yama Gadol Mutzaim? Why is it called Mutzaim of all names? Kenegeshtei Pamim Sheyatza, Echod B'dor Enosh, Echod B'dor Aflaga. Because there were two times that the Yama Gadol overflowed. One was in the days of Enosh, and one was in the Dor HaFlaga. Rabbi Lazar b'Shem Rabbi Chanina Barishon, in the generation of Enosh, Yatsa ad Kalbria. The Yama Gadol went all the way to a place called Kalbria. Ubishnia, in the Dor HaFlaga, Yatsa ad Kefei Biribria. It went until a different place. Rabbi Yachal b'Shem Rabbi Chanina Barishona Yatsa ad Kefei Barbaria. Ubishnia Yatsa ad Akov ad Yafo. No, in the Dor of Enosh it went until Kefei Barbaria. In the Dor HaFlaga it went until Akko, until Yafo. So Ad Po Tavo V'lo Sosif. Pasuk says in Iyov that Ad Po Tavo V'lo Sosif. So we darshin Ad Po is Ad Akko Tavo V'lo Sosif, that only until Akko goes, but never beyond that. Upo Yashis B'Gaon Galecha. So Ad Yafo Ashis Gaon Galecha, that the waves are only gonna go strong until that point, until Yafo. So Nicha Yama Rabba V'Yama Demilcha. So says Amar, wait a second, I understand very well the water is going to mix in together with the Yama Gadol and the Yama Melech B'Shvil Mitkan. That's going to be beneficial to sweeten up the waters, because those are very salty waters. So it will make it better water. But Yamad de Tveria, Yamad de Samcha, Yamad de Tveria and Yamad de Samcha, these are sweet waters already. They don't need to be helped out. So the Ravos to Gassam, why does it have to mix with this water? In order to make the fish better, that the fish should be misparech in these waters. Dechsivbe, Lemina Tia de Gassam, Lemine Minim Tia de Gassam, that there are going to be many many minim, many different types of fish that are able to thrive in this water. So once we talk about the special bracha of the fish, Tani Yarmar B'Shemang Liel, Maisa Shalachti L'Tzeidan, I went to a place called Tzeidan, Ve'yavilufana Yosim Sholosh Meos Mine Dagim, and they brought me Betam Chayachad, they brought me over 300 types of fish in one pot. That's how many different types of fish. You stick a net in the water, and you'll come up with all different types of fish when these waters mix. It will enable the fish to thrive in that environment. So the Gemara raises the question. V'nirpu amayim. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, v'nirpu amayim. Sounds like the water got better from its saltiness and it became sweeter. So it says v'gavav lo yirap l'melech nitanu. And then it says that the water was lo yisrap, the lo yirafu. So k'siv v'nirpu amayim v'at amrit v'lo yirafu amayim. So makom hu ushmo v'lo yirafu. Says no. We're not saying lo yirafu amayim that the water wasn't good. There was a place called lo yirafu, and we're referring to that place, but it's not descriptive of the water itself. The Gemara further darshens pesuk min Yecheskel. K'siv v'ala nachal yal al sfasa mizah mizah kol etz machal lo yibol aleyu v'lo yitam piryo l'chadash av yivaker. So Tani, the Brisa says as follows. Am Rabbi Yudel fisha b'olam hazeh tvua osa l'shisha chadashim. Since in olam hazeh it takes 6 months for grain to grow from Tishrei all the way until Nisan, and when we harvest the grain, we then plant other grain in its place, and again it takes a long time for that grain to grow. And the ilanos l'shemasrechodesh, and trees it takes once a year that we're able to take fruits off of trees. Avla asad lavo hatvua osa l'chodesh echad v'ilan osa l'shnei chadashim. Ba'al asad lavo, it's going to go much quicker. The grain is going to grow in a single month, and the fruit of the trees, every 2 months we're going to be able to take off the fruits from the trees. So my taima, again, my taima doesn't mean why, but it means how do I know this? L'chadashav yivaker. Because the pasuk says l'chadashav, to its months it's going to be mevaker peros. So you see that it's going to happen on a monthly basis. Amar Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, no, it's going to be even quicker. L'fi shabal nazah tvo osa l'shish chodesh v'ilun osa l'shnem osa chodesh avla osa lavo hatvo osa l'chamish osa yom v'ilun osa l'chodesh echad. That the grain is going to grow in 15 days and the fruit of the trees is going to grow in a single month. Shekein matzinu sha'asas hatvua v'imei yoel l'chamish osa yom v'karv v'mena omer. Because we find in the days of Yoel once that the grain grew in just 15 days and they were able to bring the carbon omer from it. So lots of levels can be the same thing. So just like in Olam Hazeh, the trees make peros in double the time of the grain, so too, Las Adava, the trees will be double the time of the grain. So if the grain takes 15 days, like it did in the days of Yol, so the trees are going to take 30 days in twice the amount of time. So my time, where do you find that in the days of Yoel that such a thing happened, that it grew in 15 days? Because the pasuk says, "Uvnei Tzion gilu v'simchu b'Hashem elokeichem ki nasan lachem es hamoru litztaka v'yorid lachem geshem moru malkosh barishon." That the rain came down on the first day of Chodesh Nisan. And from that grain that was Sameach, from that rain, they were able to bring the Korban Omer on the 15th day of Nisan. So you see that in the days of Yoel, apparently the grain grew entirely in that 15-day period. So the Gemara now says, how's Rabbi Yossi going to deal with Rabbi Yehuda's Raya? Rabbi Yehuda said, L'chadashav Yevaker. So doesn't L'chadashav, Chadashav is plural. So it's got to be at least 2 months. So that's why we said that every 2 months, the tree is going to produce fruit. How's Rabbi Yossi going to deal with that? Rabbi Yossi says it's every month the tree is going to produce fruit. What does he do with chadashav in the plural? Umamakayim Rabbi Yossi v'chadashav yivaker b'kol chodesh v'chodesh yem yivaker. No, chadashav in every single month. Yeah, chadashav is plural. Every month of all the months of the year, there's going to be new fruit to pick off of the trees. That's all chadashav means. V'alei trufa, the Navi Yecheskel goes further and says that about these peros and the leaves, that the leaves are going to be a trufa, like a medication, it seems like it's saying, or it's going to help. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a lashon of mazon, of like food. Tarfe meitzitzale v'taraf mezona, that you could suck on the leaves of the trees, and you're gonna and that will also nourish a person. That's the expression in the pasuk of lo yibol, that even the leaves don't wither, that even the leaves are going to be valuable. Rav Shmuel, charam lahatir pesha lemalim. He said, no, speaking poetically, trufa means, not poetically, but rather trufa means it's actually going to be lahatir peh. It means it's going to help out one of the mouths of a person. So one of them says it means literally the mouth, in that if a person was mute, he's now going to be able to speak. V'charam lahatir pesha lematan. Then no, it's referring to, it's speaking euphemistically about a woman's womb, but it's not about a mouth, it's about a woman's womb, that if she was unable to have children, so she's going to be able to have children. It's going to be medication for that, for, on that level. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, chadam lahatir peh akros, v'chadam lahatir peh ilmim. More direct statement, but it means the same thing, that one says that it's to take care of women who are barren, who have trouble having children, and the other for women who are, for anybody, not just women, anybody who's an ilim, who's unable to speak, who's mute. Ulumasam etzafon. So the Mishnah said that we had on the northern side a number of gates. One of them was Shar Yechanya, and it was called Shar Yechanya because that's where Yechanya went to Galus from. So Admosi B'shal Shal Nebuchadnezzar Lekan. When Nebuchadnezzar came here, again, there's Yerushalmi, so it's talking in Eretz Yisrael. When Nebuchadnezzar came to Eretz Yisrael, Bav Yashav Lo B'dofne Shal Antochia, he went and he settled in the city of Antochia. V'yasa Sanhedrin Gedolah L'krasa. The Sanhedrin Gedolah went to greet him. V'amr Lo, and they said to him, Higiyaz Man Abayis Hazel L'Charev, meaning if they see Nebuchadnezzar, so they know it can't be good news. So they said, are we done here? Meaning, is now you're going to destroy the base of Mikdash? So Nebuchadnezzar said, no, also shim lachti aleichem, tenu li v'ani holech. I'm not interested in destroying the base of Mikdash at the moment. We'll get there. But right now, all I'm interested is the person that I was mamluch for you, that I allowed to become the melech, I want you to hand him over, and then I'll go on my way. Bo v'armeli o'yachin melech Yehuda. So they went to o'yachin melech Yehuda. Nebuchadnezzar bo'yelach. Nebuchadnezzar is asking for you. Kivan sheshamim, once he heard that Nebuchadnezzar was looking for him, not the miftcha shel beis hamikdash, he took the miftcha shel beis hamikdash, he took the keys of the beis hamikdash, olo legagol shel heichal, and he went to the roof of the heichal. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, l'shavar yinu ne'amanam lach v'ayim miftcha secha mesurun lanu. It used to be that we were trustworthy to you, ribono shel olam, and you gave us the keys to your house, and we watched over them. Achshav sheino ne'amanim, harem miftcha secha mesurun lach. Now that we're no longer believed, we're no longer trustworthy to you, so we're giving you back the keys. So what did he do with the keys? How did he give back keys to Hashem? So Tren Amarayin, so Machlok Samarayin, Chadom or Zorkan, one says he threw them, Va'odlo Yardu, and they never came down. Lahavdi, like Jesse Rascal's glove, they say, never came down. Right, so they threw him up, and it never came down. V'chadom or Ba'a, Kimin Yadu, and Tassam Yadu. And the other one says that a hand came from heaven and took the keys from him. Kivin Sharou, Kol Chorei, once all the chashuvim in Chol Chorei Yehuda, all the chashuvim in Eretz Yehuda saw that Cain, they saw that that's what happened. That min hashamayim, they were maskim to divrei to what Yochanan had to say. So alu l'rosh kagosein v'naflu mesu. So they realized that the gig was up. They realized that it was going to be trouble for the Jewish people. So they all went up to their rooftops and they jumped off and they died. Hadahu d'chsev masa gechizayon malacha efo ki alisa kulcha legagos tshuos mleya ir homia. So that they were not Mesim Melchama, the Pasuk goes on to say, because they didn't die from Cherev or from Melchama, but it was from Nefila, from the Gagos. It was from falling off the roof. We always use the expression of Nefila, even though they were no Felas Atzmam, even though they made themselves fall, they jumped off the roof. Okay, so new Mishnah. So in the beginning of the parak, we discussed 13, we said that we mentioned that there were 13 shulchanos in the Beis HaMikdash, but we never described what they were for. So that's what this Mishnah does. 13 shulchanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Shmona shel shayish, 8 of them were made out of marble. Beveis HaMitbachayim, and it was in the part of the Beis HaMikdash, in the north of the Mizbeach, where we would shecht the karbanos. Shalei medich nesar kervayim, and that's where they would rinse off all the insides of the animals of the karbanos. So it was made out of shayish, so that it could be cold and the meat wouldn't spoil on a hot table. It was so the coolness of the marble was able to keep the meat fresh. Ushnayim, then they had another two tables, the Marav HaKevesh, to the west of the ramp. Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel kesef. One of those was made out of marble and one out of silver. Al shel shayish nosen es eivarim. On the marble one, they put the eivarim of the karbanos after they cut up the animal into its different parts, and they would rinse them. they would and the Kohanim would then bring them up to the Kevesh. So this Shulchan had to be made out of Shayish again to keep the meat fresh. Val Shel Kesef, and on the silver table, they would put the 93 clay shares that were made out of silver and gold that they needed every day for the Avodah Sayyam. Ushnayim Bu'ulam Mibifnim. Then they had another two tables in the ulam in the inside al pesach habayis, echad shel shayish vechad shel zav, one made out of marble and one made out of gold. Al shel shayish nosel lechem apanim b'chnisasam. On the marble table, they would put the lechem apanim on its way in every erev Shabbos. After it was baked, it would be put there until Shabbos, when they needed to be mesadu the shulchan in the heichal again. Al shel zav, and on the golden table, they would put b'yitziyasa, when the lechem apanim was taken out from last week. So they would put it on the golden table on its way out, and it would stay on the gold table until they would split it up amongst the Kohanim. So the reason it was Dafka put on a gold table is Shemalim B'Kodesh V'lo Maridin, because you always go up in Kedusha, you don't go down in Kedusha. Echad Shel Zav Mibifnim Shalav Lechem Apanim Tamid. And then you have the one major Shulchan that we know, the Shulchan Shel Moshe, that was kept in the Heichal, where the Lechem Apanim was kept on throughout the course of the week. But once it was put on that table, they couldn't put it on a table that wasn't gold. So on its way out, because of Malam Kodesh V'lo Maridin, they have to dafka put it on a golden table. There's an interesting tshuva, and the tshuva is Torah Lishma in Simon Chaf Aleph. He was asked about a shul that had a silver dressings for the Sefer Torah, except for one. One Sefer Torah just had like a regular cloth. It didn't have, it's a Sephardic posuk, so we're talking about really fancy. We're not talking about just like a crown or whatever. We're talking about a real whole dressing around the Sefer Torah. So whenever they took turns using the various Sefer Torah, whenever they used the Sefer Torah that didn't have one, they would switch it. They would switch the silver from one of the others onto that one, and they would put the wood or whatever it was onto the other Sefer Torah. So he wanted to know, is that Malam B'Kodesh V'lo Maridin, that they're taking the Sefer Torah that normally has the silver, and they're putting around it just some regular material, whatever it was, wood or other material, on it, even for just a moment. So is that a problem if it's just Lefi Shah? So he brings a raya from our Gemara. He says, it's also Lefi Shah over here. They're taking the Lechem Apanim from the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shulchan that we're used to seeing in all the picture books, and they put it on another Shulchan Shel Zav. For how long already are they putting it? It's a very temporary thing that they're putting it on the Shulchan Shel Zahav on the way out, and then they were going to divide it up amongst the Kohanim as soon as the Haktaras of Azichin happens. It doesn't take that long to do the Haktaras of Azichin, and still you see that there's a concept of Malam B'Kodesh V'lo Maridin. So he thought that it's not appropriate because of Malam B'Kodesh V'lo Maridin. Says the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, so Tani al Shel Kesef, on the silver table, we said Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Chananya Mati ba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chananya says the name Rabbi Yochanan, less kan Shel Kesef. That the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't hold that the Shulchan was made out of Kesef, rather out of marble. And the reason is Mneshu Martiach, that the Kesef will get very hot. Silver will get hot and would make the Lechem Apanim it would spoil the Lechem Apanim. It would make it moldy. So look. So wait a second, why are you worried that the Lechem Apanim is going to get moldy? There were miracles of Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim stayed fresh all week long. Yeah, but we don't push it. We have to put it on the Shulchan of Moshe and leave it there for the whole week. That's the mitzvah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a nes, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. But we can't force a nes. So if we have a choice what type of table to put it on, we shouldn't put hot lechem apanim on a silver table, which conducts heat. That's going to cause it to become moldy. We put it on a marble table. Bon Kome, the Bnei Yeshiva, asked Rabbi Ila, Lo haya sham lechem mal lanichol l'shabbos haba. What if they didn't have lechem apanim to be mesadra on the shulchan and the heichal? Can they take the old lechem apanim and take it off of the shulchan so that they can place it back on the shulchan to be mesadra the lechem anew? Meaning, can they reuse it? So I'm alone. Ksiv and asat al shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. Lechem panim afilu pasul. Sounds like lechem panim. No, even if it's pasul, even if it's last week's lechem panim, you're allowed to reuse it. It should be tamid. It should be constant. So the Gemara is now going to bring a brisa that deals with the shulchanos in the Beis Hamikdash. Asar shulchanos also Shlomo. Shlomo Melch made 10 more shulchanos for the Beis Hamikdash. Tichsiv vayash shulchanos asara vayanach behechal chamishim miyamin vechamishim mismal. He had 5 on the right and 5 on the left. The Gemara is going to explain what that means on the right and left of what. So in Tamar, if you say that these shulchanos that these mesader were along the length in one row from the north of the Hechel to the south of the Hechel, so it turns out chamisha bedarum, the chamisha betzafel, and five of them are actually in the south, five of them are in the north. But v'aloeina shulchan kasher el betzafon, shemar v'shulchan titin al tzal tzafon. But a shulchan the halacha is has to be in the north. So matam lomar chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismal. What does it mean? Five on the right, five on the left. Then ella means chamisha miyamin shulchanu shel Moshe v'chamisha mismalo. They're all really in the north. It's just five to the right of the shulchan of Moshe and five to the left of the shulchan of Moshe. But they're all really in the north. Now because each of these shulchanos was two amos long, and if each row had five shulchanos, so the length would be 10 amos, would fill up the entire northern side and go a little bit beyond that, a little bit beyond the 10 amos, because you can't put the shulchanos mamish one right up against each other. There has to be a little bit of space in between them. So it turns out that these rows of shulchanos would go a little bit into the southern side, where you're not allowed to have shulchanos. Afal bikein loy mesadre el bishal Moshe b'levad. They would only put the bread on Moshe's shulchan. Shenemar v'sa shulchan asher alav lechem apanim, the shulchan that on it the lechem apanim had to go. But that was one shita. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says no. Al kulanay mesadre. They put the lechem on all the shulchanos, and none of these shulchanos went into the south. So you don't have to worry about that. Shenemar v'sa shulchanos v'alehem lechem apanim, the shulchanos and they had on them lechem apanim. Tani mizrach umarav hayinusunim. That the Gemara says that this machlokas we find is machlokas how they were placed. The mizrach umarav hayinusunim divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says they were placed from east to west. Rebbe Lazar ber Rebbe Shimon omer tzafon v'darim hayinusunim. They were placed from north to south. The two rows of the shulchanos from in the hechel from the northern side all the way down to the south, and then they would protrude a little bit into the south. Mandiam mizrach umarav nicha. So the one that said they ran east to west, you could use all of them. But if they ran north to south, so one of them was in the south, so you're not allowed to use that one because the shulchanos that you use have to all be in the north. All right, we'll continue the discussion of the shulchanos tomorrow. Guten Chodesh.